Our reading this morning is from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the word of God.
Good morning. Lovely to be with you. So we're continuing on the themes of our statement of becoming. It's great to have it up week by week and remind ourselves we're disciples of Jesus who joyfully seek to share God's love by honouring one another, being and building authentic Holy Spirit-led communities and working for justice locally and in the world. And each of those colours pick out the different themes that we're focusing on. And so this week we're back on authentic communities, and in particular looking at the aspect of love, authentic love, in our communities, in our living together. And the passage from John, it's a well-known one, isn't it? It comes just after Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, just before he knows he's going to the cross. And so he's got these last precious hours with his disciples, when, of course, what he wants to do is most impress on them what really matters. And as we see, what really matters is love. And he calls it a new commandment. It's a bit like he's saying, all of the other commandments that you've heard, they kind of pale into insignificance compared to this, that you love one another. And he's got gathered around him the community that he's built as he's walked with his disciples. And what matters is that they love each other. And in case they're left in any doubt as to how they should love each other and what that could look like, he says what? You're to love each other as I've loved you. And they've been able to live with him and experience what that was actually like. They know how he loved them. It's not just any old love, but it's to be a quality of love which is the same as the quality of love that he had and showed for them. And then he tells them that this will be what distinguishes them from other disciples of other rabbis, of whom there would have been lots, you know. So what will distinguish them isn't what they look like, what they wear. It isn't the statements of belief that they might have. It's not the way that they might interpret the scripture. It's the love that they have amongst themselves. We might say today, it's not the fact that we go to church. It's not the fact that we've attained any particular moral standing. It's not the success that we have in our church growth and projects. All those are good things, but it's love. It's the love that we have for one another that distinguishes us. And I know this is obvious, but I do think it's worth saying, why might that be the one thing that distinguishes us as Jesus' disciples? Why does he pick that? And of course, I think it's because that's essentially who he was and what he did. It was what was most essentially true about him. More than anything else, he loved people. He understood the power of love. He understood that it is what every human heart needs. And he freely gave. Finally, of course, by his death on the cross, yes, but by just how he lived every day amongst his community. So I think, therefore, the invitation is for us to look at how did he love his disciples. And I want to take as a springboard the title of my sermon today, which was Authentic Love. And as I was preparing at the start of the week, it kind of led me to think about, well, you know, doesn't love have to be love? Doesn't love have to be authentic if it is love? It's interesting that our verse for the year is Romans 12, verse 9. And it begins with this phrase, love must be sincere, must be authentic, true. Seems like Paul thought it was worth making that point, that love must be sincere. There's a story that I read a number of years ago in this little book called A Hidden Wholeness that I want to share. It's always stayed with me. It's about two colleagues who are teachers in the States, and one of them has been attending a series of retreats just around what it means to create authentic places of connection and community. And he kind of struggled with it a bit and wasn't sure that he got what it was all about. And then one day, his principal, who's a friend, comes to him and says to him that he would like him to go on this particular conference that's around technology in the classroom. And it's the third year now that his principal has come to him and kind of wanting to insist that he goes on this conference. And this guy is particularly resistant and he does not want to go, and he's been battling away, and he just thinks it's a fad. It's not really what my students particularly need, technology, and so he's really resistant. And it's come to round three, and here comes his principal with the same request. And then this time, I'll read, it's Tim, his name is, said something new. For the past year and a half, he told his principal, I've been sitting with this group of teachers who've been exploring their inner lives, and I've begun to realise that I have one too. I can see now that I've been lying to myself and to you about why I won't go on this summer programme. The truth is, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I won't understand what they're saying. I'm afraid that what I do understand will make me feel like I've been teaching the wrong way for 20 years. I'm afraid I'll come home from that programme feeling like I'm over the hill. I still don't want to go, but at least I can be honest with you about why. And then the principal, well, they both sat there for a while in silence, staring at the floor. And then the principal looked up and said to him, you know what? I'm afraid too. Let's go together. And I love that story because I think it is about authentic love. And this guy who'd been exposed to authentic love in a community of people was able to have this really honest moment with himself and to realise he'd kind of been, he says, lying. He'd been inauthentic. He didn't particularly know that that's what he'd been doing. But he's suddenly able to see to a deeper level what's going on inside of him. And he has the courage to be honest. And it overcomes a relationship that's been difficult for all those 3 years, and something is resolved in a way that I just think is really precious. I think that we're all quite good at sniffing out love when it is inauthentic. I think we know it kind of has that aspect of self-interest to it. The great Dutch writer and priest Henry Nouwen, in a lovely little book called Turn My Mourning Into Dancing, writes very honestly about our mixed motives when it comes to loving and loving others. And he says, many things we do for others are in fact the expression of our drive to discover our identity in the praise of others. I don't know how that strikes you, but what we do know about Jesus is that he related to people for their own sake and not for his own sake. He was so free of self-interest. So authentic love isn't about what we get back. It is about what we give. In another vulnerable moment, Henry Nouwen also writes this. Before I go to breakfast in the morning, I have 20 thoughts of people who should, I think, be a little different from what they are. If they would just shape up a bit and not always arrive late, or if they would not act quite so brusquely. You see, loving someone means allowing the other person to respond in ways that we have no control over. And authentic love is always risky in that way. I think we can easily live with these subtle, or maybe not so subtle, inner demands that a person change to be like I would like them to be, the way I want them to be. And so we can carry around these unspoken expectations of our relationships, and they can leave us disappointed or critical or just hurt and frustrated when those expectations aren't met. I think one of the most helpful prayers that I know in situations like that, in regard to relationships, goes like this. I release you to be the person you want to be to me or are able to be to me, not the person I want you to be to me. And it can really help us let go. That's not to say there's times when it's appropriate to address things, but it's one of those prayers I have used often that helps us let go of the expectations we have inside. So one of the ways that I think we recognise authentic love is when we know the person isn't trying to change us, that they can accept us as we are, warts and all, mixed bag that I am. And that, as we probably all know, is tremendously transformational. That kind of love in our communities is just tremendously transformational. When we feel loved and accepted as we are, then we feel safe. And when we feel safe, we can relax and we can learn. Not feeling safe creates anxiety, and anxiety is always what prohibits us from learning, what really inhibits our ability to learn. And it's back to what I know you've heard me say before. God doesn't love us more when we change. He loves us so that we can change. And that's the power of authentic love in our communities. And I think, if we're honest, that's hugely challenging, hugely difficult, because we do bring our own human needs into our relationships. One more bit of wisdom from Henry Nouwen. Your love for others can be unconditional without a condition that your needs are gratified when you have an experience of being loved. And that's why Jesus could do it, isn't it? Because he knew his own belovedness. He knew he was the beloved Son of the Father. And out of that, he could love. Because I think that the less certain we are of our own value and our own worth, our own belovedness, the more we are kind of trying to milk it from those around us, the more we're trying to find acceptance in our relationships, looking for others to meet a need in me. And of course, our communities are meant to be places where we are meeting one another's needs and looking out for one another. But it's not a place where we lay expectations on each other. I think we all know the difference. The wonder of walking with God is the fullness of acceptance that we receive in his love. And Carl talked about that last week. God's love is the source of our love for one another. And when it runs out, what do? We go back to him. And as John writes in his letter, 1 John 4:19, we love because God first loved us. Authentic love has a cost to it. It's about letting our own needs go at times. And I think sometimes we know what authentic love is when we see pictures of it. And I was thinking of some examples came to my mind. There's a friend of mine who one day, just seeing that his wife was utterly dead on her feet, decided that he would do the ironing for her. And that was always her job. They had their division of labour, you know, she did the ironing. He just saw she was dead on her feet, he did the ironing for her. There's another story of a man who's sitting in bed reading his novel and just getting to the most exciting point in the story when it's all about to the big reveal. And he looks up and he sees his wife sitting at her dressing table and just looking really sad. And so he puts his book down and he goes over and he talks to her. It's the moment when we know we could say a witty, slightly cutting or sarcastic comment, and we choose not to. It's the moment when parents get up in the middle of the night to care for their kids. It's the moment when adult kids care for their parents. It's just, we're surrounded by beautiful examples of authentic love, aren't we? And it's wonderful to see that. But I think what I want to say, or not but and, what I want to say, authentic love is costly, but it doesn't come at the cost of our own self-care. I've lost count of the number of times that I've read this quotation aloud to missionaries and church workers and people who are out and about trying to love others. Self-care is never a selfish act. It's simply good stewardship of the only gift I have, the gift I was put on earth to offer to others. Anytime we can listen to true self and give it the care it requires, we do it not only for ourselves, but for the many others whose lives we touch. So authentic love has a cost to it, but it's not at the cost of our own self-care, or not always at the cost of our own self-care. And authentic love looks like something. It's not just a feeling. We know that. It looks like how Jesus loved his disciples. So in my last 5 minutes or so, I wanted to look at how Jesus loved his disciples. And there's so many things I could pull out, or you could pull out. I've picked six. I'm just going to name them. And I invite you just to listen. Perhaps to hear how it is that Jesus would want to love you in these ways, that he loved his disciples. So firstly, he saw them. He saw them as individuals. He invited them. He wanted to hang out with them. He wanted to be with them. He created relational attachments. And for sure, they felt his affection. They knew that he enjoyed them. He never gave up on them. So as earlier in that chapter of John, he loved them to the end. He didn't drop them when they failed. He corrected them. He spoke into their lives and he called them to be who they truly were, to fulfill their potential. He served them. As we said earlier, he washed their feet, that dirtiest part of their bodies, he washed their feet. He forgave them when they blew it. And then lastly, he shared himself with them. He let them know him. They saw his prayer life. They saw his anguish. They saw his joys. He let himself be known. That's how Jesus wants to love us, and it's how he calls us to love others, and it's a high calling. So just a few final thoughts on what might it look like for us. They're simple thoughts, and they're thoughts that came to me. I want to trust their Holy Spirit inspired, but there are other thoughts that might come to you. A few little things. What can authentic love look like for us here? Can we let our eyes light up when we see someone? Can we let them know how glad we are to see them? So important, isn't it? It's why we have this team of slides people. I was looked in the eyes and greeted by Jan as I walked in this morning. And serving. I loved Paul's testimony here a few weeks back around how he appreciates the way community has helped him in moments when he needed help. And his heartfelt appreciation of that. And of course, the flip side of that is, can we let others help us? Can we reach out and ask for help and let them serve us? Correction. It's a hard one. Are we open to that? I know leaders who have said to me, I give you permission to speak into my life if there's anything that you see that you don't understand or that seems incongruous. I want to have people in my life that I do that to. I think I do have people. Because we all have blind spots, don't we? Some of my most painful and yet most or biggest growth opportunities have been when another person's come to me and said, you know, I was hurt when you did that or said that. And then this thing of sharing ourselves, just disclosing, like the guy in the story, Tim, that we read. Can we say that? I'm struggling at the moment. I think we could probably all use the prayer ministry team a bit more than we do. It doesn't have to be about big things. But just to go and say, you know, this is going on. Will you just pray with me? And I speak to myself in that. It doesn't have to be big things. But we can share one another's loads. And we can be known. So, to finish with, I love Mother Teresa's statement that you might have heard where she said, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. Can't we? Small things with great love. So let's close our eyes a moment. And just have a pause. And you just might like to think, what's one small thing you could do today? What's one small thing you could do this week? What's one small thing you could do this month? A as an expression of authentic love.